happened to enjoy these songs today.
Amen. What a blessing they are. And for we know who we serve. We know where our hopes lie and where our future is going to take us today. And our prayer is that you know where your future's at as well. Because we all have a future. Every one of us is going somewhere. You know, when we was younger, Ronnie, they may have looked at us and said, he ain't got much of a future. But if only they knew that somewhere down the line that there was a man called Jesus Christ that died for us to give us a future beyond what this world could offer to any of us today. I've enjoyed myself in the house of God. In the book of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. And we ask that you help us, that God would just be with us and give us a word to be able to give to you that will, for those of you that say that it will just rejuvenate that fire that you have in the Lord. Take you back to when you first met Him and for all that He's done for you. And for those of you that don't know Him today as your Savior, as I've said just a moment ago, we all have a future. The Bible says, and I know it's not popular preaching in today's society, but the Bible says that we are either heaven bound or we are hell bound. And that's where our soul will stay for all eternity. You can either have a future of prosperity or you can have a future that's just going to be damnation in a lake of fire with all of the outcasts, all those that rejected God. But today, I'm glad that I have the promise that I don't have to worry about where I'll spend my future, because every knee that has bowed and every tongue that has confessed that Jesus is Lord, we're going to that place that He's prepared for us beyond the first and the second and even the third heavens, into a place where God calls heaven. And folks, when He calls it heaven, you can count on it. It's more than what this world can contain, because He's prepared a place that all of His elect is going to go and be able to not just be there. But aren't you? Has anybody else read where we're going to sing and shout and we'll never wear out? We'll soar like eagles. Amen. We'll run and not grow weary. And we will praise Him for giving us that opportunity to be able to bow before Him. Book of Matthew, I might preach this morning for a few minutes of time. Book of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, if you go down with us this morning, starting to read in the 31st verse, he says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And stop reading over that 32nd verse. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. And I'd like to use for a text this morning, sin and blaspheme. Sin and blaspheme. The Bible is very clear in the teaching that it gives us today about sin and blaspheme. First of all, for everyone that is lost and undone, the Bible says that all sin shall be forgiven. All manner of sin shall be forgiven unto you. All of them. He didn't leave any of them out. He said all sin. And I have to turn over to the book of John in the first chapter, when John was there and he was baptizing in the river of Jordan. You Bible readers remember, you've heard this verse throughout your whole lives, that when he saw the Lord coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." A few weeks or months ago, I used that in a message. And the thing that really surprises is what we read over, or what we really don't catch as we read God's Word. Oftentimes we say He come to take away the sins of this world. But John said He come to take away the sin of the world. He didn't make it plural, because in God's eye there's only one sin. And that's the sin of unforgiveness that's in your heart and life. Once you have God in your life, all sin shall be forgiven of you. The Bible says with us this morning, it says that the in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, it says that all, he says that you know that that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said that these that are written there in that 9th verse, he said that there are those that are adulterers, those that are murderers, those that are lustful, the thieves, the fornicators, the robbers, the harlots, the idolaters, the covetous, the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners. He covered every one of them. He said, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And the Lord said that all manner of sin shall be forgiven. And if there's none of those going to inherit the kingdom of God, it teaches us this morning that you must be born again in order to make it to heaven. You cannot go in the present state where you're at. I was thinking this week, and I ask you to just bear with me for a few minutes today, and I'll try not to preach long, but I was thinking this week that no matter where you're at in your life and no matter what you have done, the Bible says that all manner of sin shall be forgiven except he that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking this week that this book that I hold before you, how many of you know that this is the Word of God? It is the Holy Word of God. And no doubt, even in Sunday school, they hold this book. And Sister Carly and I was thinking this week that this book is precious to us. And it tells about some men and women that God saw fit for their names to be written down and their stories to be written down. And check, he passed on to us. But this week, the Lord laid the thought upon my heart that this book is full of stories about men and women that had done bad things. They'd all done bad things. I went back and you remember even from the beginning of Genesis, the Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned against God because they broke what he told them not to do. They went and ate from the tree of knowledge of right or wrong. And from there, the stories have just grown through the years, if you'll have it this morning. I thought about David as we lift him up, and there's probably not a one of us that wouldn't say that David, in fact, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that was close to God. But the Bible says that David sinned. He comes short of the glory of God. And he done things that he ought not have done. But God looked down upon him and said, I know that he has done wrong, but have you looked ahead in time to what I've done? I'll not allow David nor anybody else to die and go to hell, but I'll make a way of escape for them. If only they will look up, they shall live. He said, all sin shall be forgiven. No matter what you've done, no matter how deep in sin that you have trod, no matter how far down in the hog pen you have been, God said, I allow my Son, Jesus Christ, to come to save you because there is nothing that you can do except for blaspheme against the Holy Ghost that will prevent you from having your part in heaven when this life shall come to an end. And that ought to make a Baptist church want to rejoice on a Sunday morning, knowing that the devil has not enough power nor enough of his angels or devils, if you'll have it this morning, to stop us and your loved ones and mine that are still away from God. You know what we ought to be preaching this morning, church? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. No matter what you have done, Jesus Christ will still save you and give you a hope of life eternal and glory. If you'll just bow your heart and ask him to forgive you, Jesus will still save to the uttermost of this world. Jesus saves today. No matter what they've done, Ronnie. No matter how far they have been in sin, and no matter what your age may be, it doesn't matter how old you are or what your past may be. The Bible gives us in the book of Luke, it tells us about three women. And these three women in the lineage of Jesus Christ, it tells us that they were harlots. If I can just be blunt with you this morning. They were women of ill report. But you know what Jesus said and God said in His Word? Yes, they once were sinners. But God cleaned them up. Hallelujah. God cleaned them up and He made them a fit subject for the kingdom of God and changed their lives so that they are now found written in their names as part of the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because they are not what they used to be. Can I preach this morning? You and I are not what we used to be. We are not sinners. We are not damned to go to hell for all eternity. But how many of you know this morning that you are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt because Jesus came to save sinners? Each and every one of us was sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell. But thank God Jesus came. Thank God today. The Bible says that He said in His Word that all manner of sin and blaspheme shall be forgiven unto men. All manner. And folks, the Bible teaches us today, and I need to slow down and preach to you for a few minutes of time, but the Bible teaches us when we talk about sin, people say, well, what exactly is sin that I have to be so concerned about it? The Bible teaches us that sin is any time that, in fact, in the Greek, it means that we have missed the mark. It's an immoral sin, a sense. It's a sin, whether by omission or commission. It is sin in thought. It's a sin in word or a sin in deed. How many of you have sinned this morning? And you say, well, are you talking about today? I'm sure that we've all come short of the glory of God even this morning. And you say, well, this is Sunday. It doesn't matter. He said it's not just by what we do, but it's by what we don't do in thought, in word, or in deed. He said that's what constitutes sin. And I believe that's why He did not put the plural on this word sin. It's because the Bible teaches us that if we have fallen short of God's word by just one part, we are guilty of all of the law. We're guilty of all of it. God doesn't look at it this morning as a big sin or a little sin. How many of us growing up, we thought that this sin wasn't as bad as what that other person. Even as adults sometimes they say, well, what I didn't do isn't as bad as what somebody else did. In the eyes of God, it doesn't matter what man sees it is. In the eyes of God, it's all sin. And I'm not going to leave you there this morning. Even though it's sin, I've got good news for you. Jesus came to save sinners. Amen? He came to save us and to forgive us of all of our wrongdoing this morning. And there's not a one of us, there's not one since Adam that didn't need forgiveness from their sin that they had committed against God. We all need it. And Jesus come to give it to us this morning. And He said that He would forgive us of all sin and all blaspheme, except he that sins against the Holy Ghost this morning. And people say, well, this morning, what is this blaspheme that you talk about? And I thought about this today because I've had conversation with some of you about this in days past. But the Bible teaches us that blaspheme or sin against the Holy Ghost includes any willful, malicious, or slanderous words spoken against the person and the work of the Holy Ghost, or ascribing the work of the Spirit to Satan. Sometimes people will take things, and let me put this clear this morning in this little message that God has laid upon my heart. Anything that is good, it had to come from God. Anything that is bad that has happened to you or in your lifetime, it is not a work of God, but is a work of the devil himself. And to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost is when we take something that God did and try to ascribe it to what the devil did. Folks, the devil has never done me anything good. He's always come against me to try to tear down and destroy the good things that God has already done for us today. And in the times past, I used to a challenge and you question God, why would you allow something like this to happen when you're the one who gave us the good thing in the first place? And folks, here lately I've come to the conclusion that every time God does something good for us, the devil, Brother Eli, is going to be fighting in the background to tire it down. But folks, and I fought against it and I've wrestled against it, but then I come to the conclusion, if God gave it to me and the devil takes it away, God's got bigger and better things that He can give to me to take the place of what the devil took away. But there's one thing I have to rejoice about on a Sunday morning, is that He can take away everything in this world that God has given to me. But there's one thing He cannot take away, and that is that I am a forgiven sinner, saved by grace, glorified, justified, and ready to leave this world if God was to call and make my crossing on over to Jordan and into that place that God has prepared for us. He may take it all, but God's got more. Oh, let me slow down. Has anybody else read God's Got a Storehouse? Oh, that make you want to shout this morning. God's got a storehouse. Of everything I need, God's got it there. The Bible says that when we blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, see, the Holy Ghost is the only thing left for us to be able to talk to God. Think about this. God, before Jesus came, God talked to men. Does anybody remember in the book of Genesis, in the cool of day, God come walking through the garden? And He talked with Adam. He talked with Eve there. Then He had the prophets that God talked to through to His people. But then Jesus came. He was God in the flesh and He talked to men. But after Jesus went away, before He went away, Sister Sharon, He said this. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. But He said, I will pray the Father and He'll send a Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is what we have. The only access we have to Jesus Christ is through the Holy Ghost. Let me teach you this morning for a few minutes. The only way I can call upon Jesus is through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we can't even pray without the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost, though, we're able to get hold of the throne room. We have no access to Jesus except through the Holy Ghost. And if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no way that you can get hold of Jesus. Your line has been cut. But how many of you today know that you have a direct line to the throne room? The only way we can get to God is through Jesus. The only way we can get to Jesus is through the Holy Ghost. We have to have the Holy Ghost. People say, I wish that church would get a little bit more dignified. They'd have a whole lot more members and have a whole lot better time if they would just get more dignified. Folks, if it includes chasing the Holy Ghost out, we won't have a church. I will not be able to preach. You will not be able to sing. We will not be able to pray. But thank God we have the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is the interpreter of our hearts. It's able to take what our heart says straight to God through Jesus Christ and get what we have need of in our lives. The Bible says that it shall be given. Listen to what He said in the 32nd verse. You can speak a word. You can blaspheme against God and it shall be forgiven to you. People say, what does that mean that I would speak blaspheme against God? It's any resulting insulting remark or curse that people all the times. I during the course of a week, we hear people blaspheme against God, use God's name in vain. Folks, and I tell you what, you can use about any kind of language you want to, and I really don't like being around it, but I can live with it, if I can just, for lack of a better term, I can live with it. But when I hear somebody take my Lord's name and use it in a curse, folks, that is the worst thing that can happen, because they are cursing the man that loves them more than they even love themselves, the man that can do more for them than mother or father, brother or sister, or even this whole church today. I cannot take when people people begin to curse the Father or the Son because they're the ones that need their help, and they're cursing the very ones that's able to provide it to them. He said that you can curse them and it'll be forgiven of you. You can speak against them and it'll be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. The Bible says that, as I said, that this whole book here is full of people that did bad things. And some of you that probably heard that, and at first you said, he's right. And then some of you probably in the back of your mind started thinking, Brother Ivan, that there are still some good people in the Bible. They're not all bad. Folks, let me put this in and I'll move on. They were all bad until God got in their life. Amen. But then as we was coming to church this morning, Lord laid up on my heart, I can't leave you there just thinking they're all bad. Because there are four good people in the Bible. People say, who's those four? Because that's the ones I want to be like. God the Father, He's good. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. And there's another one. People say, well, who's the third, fourth one? I know about all three of them. Who's the fourth one that you're talking about? The church. The bride. Folks, without those four, our lives would be a desperation. Your life this morning that come to the church and you're lost and undone. You say, well, if all those people were bad, what made them good? It's because Jesus said all manner of sin shall be forgiven you. All manner. And as I look over here, I forgot to mention Sister Joan this morning, church. We need to pray for her. Our sister needs our prayers. People say, well, why didn't you just wait till the end of the service and say that? When God lays upon your heart, that's when you ought to speak it. She needs our prayers. But then I think that for those of you that's lost, you're sitting in a midst of people that used to be bad people. We all have a storied past. We're not proud of the things that we did in our yesteryear. But I can't help but going back to 1972, when Jesus passed by my way, and said that even though you've sinned and come short of my glory, I'm going to send an invitation to His house today. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse. Or the 10th verse, he said it like this. When he was talking about all these people that were bad, the adulterers and the murderers, the lusters, the thieves, the fornicators, the robbers, the harlots, the idolaters, the covetous people, the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners. When he was talking about all these, Brother Larry Jones, then he said this in the 10th verse. And he said, and such were some of you, but you are washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Does anybody remember when you was washed? Does anybody remember when you was sanctified and justified? People say, preacher, I enjoy church. I know that there is a God. I know that I'm going to have to give an account for all things that I've done. I know I've not been that good. And I really don't want to die and go to hell. But people, sometimes the devil will make you think that there's no hope for you. Can I get a witness in this Baptist church on a Sunday morning? How many of you can be a witness to these that are lost, that as long as God is still on the throne, He is still saving men and women, boys and girls, to those that, even at the vilest of people, there is no sin except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost that God will not forgive. No sin. People say, well, you're awful emphatical about this message this morning. I tell you what, if we really realized what God did for us, we'd be tearing the pews apart. We wouldn't need a place to sit. We'd be running and shouting and praising God because of the good things that He has done for us. He saved us. He saved you. And He will save you that are lost this morning if only you will submit and ask Him today to save you, because you know that you're lost and you're headed to hell and destruction. If you will just ask God, He will save you on this Sunday morning, the 8th day of July in 2012. People say, why do you say the date? Because it's important that you realize time is getting away from us. Let me close with this. If I listen to all the world events and all of the news that's going on in our around the world today, I would be, if I was lost, Brother Chad, I would be seeking like I've never sought before. Look at all the things going on around the world. And some of you are in tune to this, that there's a big hype going on around the world that the world is going to end on December the 12th, 2012. Has anybody heard this? December 21st, thank you, Larry. And the reason for that is because the Mayan calendar stops. That's as far as they went. I think they just ran out of lead. Or ink, if you'll have it. But the world is saying there's books and people getting filthy rich over this, that the world is going to come to an end on December the 21st. Let me tell you my thought. I think, Sister Dottie, it's going to happen sooner than that. Look at the signs of the times. We're living in an age like no other. And just any moment now, the trump of God could sound, declaring that time shall be no more. How many of you are ready for that? Hold your hands up there high if you're saved and you know you're saved. You say, well, don't embarrass me. Folks, everybody, we're not here to take a tally. We're here to preach to you. If you're saved, you ought to be rejoicing that you are saved. If you're lost, you ought to be rejoicing because God said, I come to save men and women that have committed all sin. No matter what sin you committed, God will forgive you. And not just a sin, but I'll confess, for if nobody else will this morning, I wasn't guilty of just one. Some of you don't get it today. I wasn't guilty of just one. But you know what? When He washed my sins away, He washed them all away. He washed them all. My sins were many, but in the eyes of God, there was only one. I needed a Savior. Today, you need a Savior. Tara, you come and get us a song of invitation this morning. Somebody needs to get saved today. Somebody needs to surrender your sin into the hands of a God that is able to forgive you and to make you as though you had never sinned. And the only way that can happen is if you come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, asking Him to forgive you. And like the young man that come last Sunday morning, he prayed and he asked God to forgive him. Others this year that have come and prayed and asked God to forgive them, you ought to join in today. Because it doesn't matter what your age is. When you come to the age of accountability, that you realize that you are lost and undone, that's when you need to be saved. You say, well, I've never done anything that's that bad. Let me just say this while they're getting this song ready to sing. There's stories in the Bible of men and women that were not murderers. They were not revilers. They were not idolaters. They were not whoremongers. They were not thieves. They were not robbers. You say, well, why did you classify them as bad then? Because they still lacked one thing. You Bible readers remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and Jesus told him what he had to do to be born again, to have part of the kingdom of God. And this young man said, and I don't think he said it braggingly. I think he was earnest, Jim. He said, all those I've kept from my youth up. And Brother Ivan, the Lord knew. He didn't say, yeah, but you failed here. The Lord knew that He was right. Some of you have been good moral people. I was listening in on a conversation last week. And you know what people do is they say it like this. If anybody makes it to heaven, I know he or she will, because they've been good to people. They've helped people. One that they said that I know he's never even had a beer to his lips. Folks, those are all good things. But that will not get you to heaven. If that would get you to heaven, then Jesus died in vain. But Jesus, folks, paid the price that you and I could not. Because you see, even though I said they was all bad people, they were bad because they was outside of the covenant of God. This morning, this church loves you. We love you. And we certainly don't want to see you go to that awful place. But as much as we love you and care for you, there's a God in heaven looking down that loves you even more. And you know what he's saying? People might not forgive. People may not even forget all the things you have done. But when God saves us, he says he takes our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Hallelujah. My sins have been washed and forgotten about. Yes, every once in a while the devil will bring them up to me, but I have to remind him. Don't you remember? I prayed at an altar of grace and Jesus forgave me. I'm not proud of them, but you can't hold them against me anymore because they're forgiven. This morning while we stand, they sing a verse. Somebody needs to get saved today, church. Somebody needs to come and thank the Lord for what you have in His salvation. I don't know what your need is, but you do. I've tried my best to preach to you. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do with God? Knowing that He will forgive all sin, you don't have to walk out those doors lost. But you can come. Bless you, Scott. Somebody else that needs to come this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. But maybe you just need to come and ask God for forgiveness of sin that has creeped into your life. Why don't you come? While these are praying with Scott, you move. Yes, I've been saved. Why don't you come today? Yes, you can walk out like you came in. But why would you want to when God is offering you the best gift that you could ever receive? If you're not sure, you ought to come and pray. Would you do that today? Come on while God is dealing with your heart. Sing on, Tara. Listen to this. Some of you need to make that move today. You say, well, I'd go, but what is people going to think about me? Folks, when it comes to your eternal security, it should not matter what people think or say. What matters is what you and God know that needs to take place. Follow your heart. Just follow your heart today. And I promise you this, you will not reject God if you do that. Yes. Get that void filled today. We've got folks that need to come. What are you going to do with Him? Don't reject the best thing that could ever happen to you. You say, well, I have to change my life. Let God change your life. You worry about your soul and God will change your life. Just follow Him today. Yes. These are praying, pleading their hearts out to God. You can take Maybe for themselves, maybe for our loved one. Some of you, your hearts are so heavy right now. Because you know you need to come. Come on. Come on, your life can be changed. All sin, all blaspheme shall be forgiven unto men, except the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Don't allow Satan to tell you God won't save you. Because the scripture I read to you this morning proves that God will save you. Where would I be if it had not been for Him? Amen. These are still praying. Others that need to come pray. Tara, can you lead us in just as I am this morning? I put a lot of pressure on her. But you see, folks, my heart's heavy today. God sent this word just for you this morning. Just for you. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you have not blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter, Debbie, what you've done. Because God said, all sin. I know Larry gets all excited. You know, about all the things that there is in life, the greatest one that you could get excited about is knowing that all sin shall be forgiven. All sin. See, we're living in such a society that Wayne, there's no such thing as sin anymore. Socialism and all the things, humanism, I should say, has taught our people that there is no such thing as wrong. It's all up to you how you feel. If you don't feel it's wrong, then it's not wrong. Let me correct them today. If God's Word says it's wrong, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. I don't need your blessing. And I don't say this disrespectful this morning. I don't need society's approval on my life. I don't need the government's approval on my life. I need to know when I lay down upon my bed at night or when I'm by myself during the course of a day that everything is okay between me and God. Because you see, when I leave this world, I'm leaving here by myself. But yet I'm not. Because even though the family can only go as far as the conscious mind will let them stay in the picture, I have a Father who said, I'll go with you always, even to the end of this world. Folks, if you don't know Him, you need to, while Tara sings, leads us, help her sing this today, church. Just one verse. We're closing with this. It's up to you. It's up to you.
Yeah.
because we're going to have food. Honoring a very special lady. Yes. Sister Edwina is the last charter member of this church. She's our church mother, if you'll have.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want you to know, just because you moved to Alabama does not relieve you of that responsibility. Because we will track you down.
Yes. Yeah.
And tonight we're going to honor her the best way we can. Well, we just don't have the words to say that.